I have an announcement here. The T. Ratana Buddhist Society, our place here, NBC, as well as T. Ratana Welfare Society, in other words, the T. Ratana groups, will be holding a family food and fun fair on the 21st of June. That means another week from now, okay, next Sunday. So for those who would like to help out by buying coupons and take your family members over there to enjoy the food and whatever available for sales there, you can get the coupons from me or from Sister Fu or any of the NBC committee members. Okay. The other thing is that there is somebody who have donated a 48-inch curved TV, brand new, Samsung brand, and this is for bidding. Currently, it is being sold below market price. Currently, the highest bid is 3,000 ringgit. 48-inch curved TV, Samsung brand, a new one. So if you are interested to bid for this, the current highest bid is 3,000 ringgit. So it's going to be sold below market price. You may send your bid to Sister Fu. The phone number is 016-278-7962. Or you can let me know afterwards. Okay? So tonight, our topic here is questions and answers on understanding meditation. And we all have heard quite a number of times already that Brother Teo had come down here to give a Dharma talk, especially from the aspect of meditation on this Buddha Dharma. So I believe you all, through your own individual experiences, would have had questions. So please put forward so that your doubts or uncertainties can be cleared. And before he takes over the mic, to give the talk tonight on this understanding meditation question and answers session. So don't be shy. When your question is put forward, not only that you get the answer, but other people too will benefit. And for sure, I for one will benefit, because I can hear from the replies from Brother Teo, and from my experience that each time a question is put forward, although he may seem to be talking on the Four Noble Truths over and over again, I had my personal benefit is I see that it is explained at different angles and in different depths. So please don't be shy. Put forward your questions. All right? Brother Teo, please lead us.
Okay. So we can have a puja. So you compose your mind. Develop your faith, sadha, virya, then we will start our puja. We will pay respect mindfully, the Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Padang pujami, Dhammang pujami, Sanghang pujami, Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa, Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa, Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadhyana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Surameraya majjhapamadatana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Sisters in the Dhamma. Can somebody help to close the door at the end? Huh? Yeah. Just close it. Huh? Thank you. Hmm. Okay, tonight, the topic, like Brother Gan and me agree, understanding meditation, just Q&A session. So he, I think, preempt the possibility of nobody ask question. So he sent me a list of fairly good question. I only wrote 5 up there, he sent me 7. So see how it goes. So today's topic is understanding meditation. What do you understand based on all of your cultivation that you have done to you? What is meditation? Anybody want to try? You have to try. If you don't try, then you don't know how much Dhamma have you really developed the understanding of. If you don't even understand what is meditation, then how are you going to cultivate something that you don't understand? That is the question I want you to find out. So you must have the ability to answer what is your understanding of meditation. Can I have somebody volunteer? Good. Pass the mic. Pass the mic. Where is the mic? A wireless mic. Oh yeah, it's your brother Tay. Sorry. Yeah, Christine. Yeah.
Good evening, brother Tay.
Yeah. Okay.
Peace in between.
Okay, that's one of the way to describe it, peace in between. So, to her, meditation is to train the mind to be peaceful, so that you can have the peace within and the peace between. Before you meditate and when you went into meditation, you can develop the peace. It's a form of mental training. So this type of meditation, what do you call? Calmness meditation, peaceful meditation. Understand? Is there any other way to describe what is your understanding of meditation? Anybody else want to try? You should try. If you don't try, you don't inquire, you can never answer this question. And just like what I told you just now, if you don't even know what is meditation, you can't even describe it in your own words, then how can you cultivate something that you don't understand? Means you do without understanding. And I can tell you that can be very costly if you do without understanding. You can be meditating for 30, 40 years, and yet you don't know what meditation is, and you never develop the real meditation. So tonight is an opportunity for you to inquire deep into this question of what is meditation, so that you can understand clearly and you do with understanding. The title is very important, Understanding Meditation is Incomplete, as taught by the Buddha. So I add in now. Because meditation is a very loose word. As taught by the Buddha. Here we refer to Sakyamuni Buddha. How many of you have this book? Most of you have it, right? The title is Understanding the Meditation as Taught by the Buddha. So you read this book, you understand. And this is a very good book. Very comprehensive. It is the whole transcript of the 12 September 2013 Thursday class recorded tape from the recording. And this one cover a lot of important understanding, because that night the Q&A was very relevant. So if you have not read, my advice is go back and read. Otherwise, you are wasting your time meditating without understanding. Like I explained in the earlier talk, when I came here in the early days, I think, to deliver Dhamma talk in Klang, there were many incidents where we discussed this topic about meditation. The first thing I tell you is meditation here is a very loose word. Loose in the sense that anything that involves mental training, is defined as meditation by the general public. That's why you have a lot of different type of meditation. When you cultivate and train your mind to develop metta, what type of meditation you call that? Loving kindness meditation, or you call it metta bhavana. So whatever you use this mind to develop, to train, then it becomes a meditation asana. So if you train yourself to develop calmness and peacefulness mind, then it becomes calmness or peacefulness meditation. Then when you do forgiveness, it becomes forgiveness meditation. Then if you train your mind to develop yoga, then it becomes yoga meditation. Then they break into many types of yoga, Hatha yoga and Kriya yoga and many types of yoga depending on how you define. Then you can also have the various types of Qigong exercise where you train your mind to develop Qigong. Then you store your Qi, then they call it Qigong meditation, or even Tai Chi Chuan or whatever. Then nowadays the Buddhist community become very gullible, very popular. You call that type of special meditation insight meditation, and you like to use the word vipassana. Then later on, people coined the term, when you do concentration or one-pointedness or energy field, it becomes samatha meditation. So meditation is a very loose word. You can come from any direction. It depends on what you want and how you understand it. But what does the Buddha's definition of meditation? Last night, Thursday class, we went into it because I think that brother, I forgot his name. What's your name again? Oh, Brother Kam. Yeah, I remember Sumiro, you opened the gate for me first time you were there. Yeah. Oh, now I remember where I seen you. Your face look familiar. Yeah, you from Sumiro. Eh? Thank you for taking care of us that first visit. Eh? You took us around, I remember. Then those were the affinity. Eh? So, Mr. Kam was there. Yeah. On the Thursday class. Then he asked some very good and very relevant question. So those were the conditions that actually arise. Yeah. So at the Thursday class, later on, after the meditation, again, as usual, everybody look at the floor, except Brother Kam, because he's new, he looked at me. So I asked him, you got any question? Well, luckily he put out a hand and he took the godless mind. Then he described about, I remember is some itchiness in front of your face. So he wants to know how should he attend to such situation. So I explained in a different way. I said, it is more important for you to develop understanding of your focus when you meditate. You have to go back to the Buddha's teaching. But before that, I did make some form of explanation. I say it depends. That's why I asked him a few questions. Does it every time come and disturb you when you want to meditate? Yeah. And he said, off and on, not always. Then there are some cases where it is calming obstruction. That one also I explained already. So, to save time, you listen to the recording. Then, later on, I explained to him clearly, the more important focus should be the Buddha's teaching, the meditation as taught by the Buddha. And the Buddha's emphasis is very simple, just heedfulness. If you want to know more about heedfulness, you go back to the recording. This word heedfulness is very important. The Buddha said, if you don't train your mind to be heedful, to develop heedfulness, then you are as if dead. Whereas heedfulness is the path to the deathless. Deathless means what? You never die. When you can transcend birth and death, you already liberate your mind, enlightened. That's why the heedful never die. So when you are heedful, you can develop heedfulness throughout the day. And this heedfulness has to be cultivated in the midst of life, daily mindfulness. Yeah. And heedfulness consists of two parts. This one is the heedful, never die. Yeah. The heedful never die. Yeah. And heedfulness is the path to the deathless, yeah. Whereas the opposite, heedlessness is the path to the death. The heedful never die. Of this, whereas the heedless is as if dead. So spiritually you are dead if you cannot cultivate heedfulness. So what is most important is to understand what is this word heedfulness. What does it mean? So you want to understand, you listen to the recording. I have to skip, otherwise we don't have much time. According to the Buddha, Dhammapada verse 21, 22, 23 is very important. These are the first three of the 20 verses within the Appamada category or heedfulness category of sayings by the Buddha. The Pali word for heedfulness is Appamada. Before the Buddha passed away, he reminded the monk, strive on with heedfulness. Appamadena sampadita. So this word is key. So what is heedfulness? It is defined under Dhammapada verse 23. Whereas verse 22 give you the faith. The Buddha said, after verse 21, which is heedfulness is the path to the deathless, and the heedful never die. He went on to the next verse, he said, the wise one distinctly understand the big difference between heedfulness and heedlessness. They will intend on heedfulness. And when they do that, they will rejoice in the realm of the Aryas or the enlightened one. Means you are destined for enlightenment if you choose to be heedful or determined to be heedful. Then verse 23 defines what heedfulness is. He said the constantly meditative, ever mindful and steadfast one, if you hold on to these two practices, you will realize the supreme born-free Nibbana, which is the enlightenment. So what is constantly meditative? What is ever mindful? You have to train your mind to develop these two qualities. So to be heedful, you have to have two parts. Ever mindful, then constantly meditative. So what is meditation as taught by the Buddha? What is the meditation as taught by the Buddha? You refer to the Four Noble Truths. Which Noble Truth is the one that covers the meditation? The fourth Noble Truth. The first three, they are not really meditation. First Noble Truth talk about the Noble Truth of suffering, the reality of life and existence, the eight conditions, the eight reality within existence, within the conditioned world that can afflict living beings. It's not the meditation. Second Noble Truth talk about the cause of arising of suffering, also not meditation. Third Noble Truth talk about enlightenment in the here and now, realization of Nibbana. Again, it is not meditation. Whereas the fourth Noble Truth talk about the path, namely the Noble Eightfold Path. If you cultivate them, it will lead to the end of all suffering. This one is very important. So constantly meditative is constantly cultivating Noble Eightfold Path. So this one is the second part that you need to develop. This is the first part, ever mindful. That's why you have to train your mind to be mindful, to be silent, to develop the stability of sati. Then only it can become samadhi. Then only you can see things as they are and insight into phenomena. To realize the characteristics of nature, to develop the awakening and the wisdom. Then only wisdom, the last spiritual faculty, can arise. So this is key to understanding meditation. In meditation, whatever you do, if you don't focus on the training of the mind to be ever mindful, then use this mind that is trained to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path in the midst of life, then you are never heedful. According to the Buddha, you are heedless. Because only in the retreat or meditation you are peaceful, calm. That is not heedfulness. That is training your mind to have the inner peace, inner calmness, and inner well-being. And these are byproduct of training mind, nothing to do with the Buddha's meditation. The Buddha's meditation is to be heedful so that you can use this trained mind to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, which give rise to all the noble quality of an enlightened being, starting with right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action, then right livelihood, then the four right effort. Then you have the right sati and samadhi. And when you have all this, you can become an arya or a noble one. Noble ones are enlightened ones who are very noble in every aspect of life. And the whole of Noble Eightfold Path is life itself. Because to live life, you need to have the right view with regards to all the laws that govern life and existence. And to live life, you need to arise your thought. If the user of thought is deluded, thought becomes wrong thought, then Noble Eightfold Path falls apart. Then thought condition, action and speech, because thought has intention. So wholesome thought, born of right view, will condition the right speech, right action, and appropriate right livelihood. That's how Noble Eightfold Path falls into place. Then you have to constantly cultivate the four right effort to purify your mind, to abandon the unwholesome thought, action, and speech that has arisen. Then later on, have the ability to prevent all this unwholesome thought, action, speech, and livelihood from arising. Because you are already mindful, and you are already heedful, and you have that right view and right understanding. You have the ability to straighten your view, not to do all this anymore. Then you also have the ability to cultivate the right effort to arise the virtue, the goodness, the wholesomeness that are still not in you. All of the great virtue that Lord Buddha has cultivated, like loving kindness, compassion, generosity, gratitude, contentment, gentleness, pleasantness, kindness. All these are very wholesome quality, even respect for elders and those who are worthy of respect. Then be of service to people. Then lead a heedful life. Be heedful. So all these are virtuous quality. Then the last right effort is to purify, refine upon, and perfect all this virtue that you have already developed, the cultivation. Then after that, you train your mind to develop sati, which is the meditative mind, the silent mind. Then from there, stabilize it until it becomes samadhi, collected and unwavering. And then from there, it can allow you to understand many, many things. You can see things as they are, insight into phenomena, develop the awakening. All of the characteristics of nature, you will understand. So this is how meditation is to be understood. If you don't do this, you go and do all the other things, then I can straight away tell you, you can really become gullible and waste a lot of your time in the name of meditation. You think you meditate. You think you go for retreat. You think you're very serious. You may have perfect calmness meditation, very beautiful meditative experience. You know, then people can tell you, oh, you already transformed. But I can tell you, the moment you come out of the retreat condition, you go back to life, you can check yourself. Are you different? Not long. Your heedless mind will come back. You cannot be heedful in the midst of life. You cannot have the silent mind to live life. You cannot be heedful most of the time in life. You are far from enlightenment that the Buddha described. The real awakening can only arise when you have a stability of mindfulness and you are constantly meditative throughout the day and ever mindful, cultivating Noble Eightfold Path. That will cover the four foundations of mindfulness, the development of all the right view, right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood, leading to right effort. Then mindfulness is the four foundation. Then samadhi is the stability of it, perfection of it. So that you can see things as they are, your mind will not stir, unwavering, collected. Then the enlightenment factor will arise. Then only you can develop understanding. So this is something that you have to bear in mind. Go back, reflect, contemplate, understand it. So that every time you do your meditation, you check. If you need to train your mind, you train. If you need to develop stability or mindfulness, you train, you develop. That you already have them, make sure you carry this state into your daily life to be mindful and heedful in the midst of life, to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, especially the four foundations of mindfulness, sati sampajana, daily mindfulness. So far, any question? Clear or not? Huh? Silent means what? Don't understand. If you don't understand, you better put out your hand. Huh? Okay, I have to assume you understand. Otherwise, not enough time. So now we come to Q&A. Yeah? I open up to the floor. Huh? Before we dwell into this question, you can ask regarding this topic, understanding meditation. Anybody got any question? Huh? Why the class is so quiet? You got no question. So you want me to answer the whiteboard question? Huh? Yeah, I heard something. What did? Who said something just now? Huh? Never mind, don't be shy. Huh? Pass the mic over. Huh? Who was the one who said something just now? Put out the hand. Oh, everybody look at the floor. Okay. Maybe you all should thank Brother Gan. He preempt you all. He knows this thing will happen. So, read out to me what is the first question. Use the mic, use the mic. Christine, help to read.
How to silence the mind and be aware?
That is the question. So now I ask you back. You all have been meditating for so long, isn't it? How to develop sati. You have to answer. Otherwise, you wait for me to answer. Then you can never remember. Because I've been answering so many times. Every time I tell you, recorded also never listen. Printed with the transcript also seldom read. Except a few, to be fair, those who are serious. Yes, Brother Danny. Yeah, pass the mic for the recording. The mic. Yeah, pass the mic. Yes. You should try to answer. Very good. Push it out. Thank you, Brother Danny. Very good.
Okay, try to answer.
Very good.
First, we need to calm our mind.
Yes.
As you've taught us.
Yeah.
To do the mind
sweeping method.
Sweeping method.
Very good. Sadhu.
Yeah.
Let's say sadhu. See, he got read one. This one really got read one. Yeah. Because it is to decondition your heedless thinking. I will explain further later. Very good. Continue. Sadhu.
Okay, once we've done that, the mind is very calm.
Yeah.
We should have no thought.
Yeah, little or no thought.
Thought.
Because not so fast. The no thought one take a while.
Yeah.
Until you really stable. Then really no thought one. Throughout the day, no thought. Like when I share the Dhamma, everything, I got no thought inside there. Then how?
Okay, then after that, as you also from your notes.
Oh, very good.
We have to get the mind to do some work.
Yes. Otherwise, it will wander.
Yes, that's right.
We very good. Very
to
good.
Use the mind.
You use it to?
To be aware of.
Actually, I use the word, you anchor it to something. you your mind sweeping matter, you locate it somewhere around. Then what you allow the mind to do? Feel, don't think. So that's why now let me do this first before I forget. That day, I think after the retreat, very good. There was a couple, I forgot his name already, he is not here, who asked me this question, what is the difference between feeling and thought? Remember? On the last day, that afternoon. What is the difference between feeling and thought? Now you understand. Mind sweeping matter. We feel. Understand or not? Then what you do after you feel, what you do? You train your mind to be at the location you want it to be. You want it to be at the forehead, tuck, it's at the forehead. Then you feel. When you feel, what do you do? You don't think in it, you just feel in it. You feel what? If there is any tension, stress within, or whatever that is disturbing you. If there is any tightness, tension, or stress within, what you do? Silently relax, relax, relax. No need to verbalize. But initially, you need to verbalize to allow that thing to work. Then use it for a while. But later on, you can just, because you already know what you want to do. Without the word, you can relax. You can feel it soothingly relax. Initially, you need to be guided, so that the feeling can become stronger. Then later on, that word disappear. It just, the feel, the mind, the silent mind feel. You can only feel when you are silent. Always remember. Feeling can only arise when you are silent, without thought. Silent means without thought. Without thought, Why? Because you are feeling, understand? You are feeling. You are not creating thought. Creating thought means what? The thought come in the form of words, labeling, understand? That's why I say initially you need it to make you relax, then you can use the word. You just feel any tension, tightness and stress within, you relax. This is to explain to you what other thing you are looking for when you feel. Because when you feel, if there is any tightness, tension or stress within, you know, understand not? Because that feeling has that type of sensation which is not relaxed, understand not? That's why you have to relax body and mind. So this mind sweeping method is very useful. First, it trains your mind to be at the location you want it to be. Then it trains you to think. To feel. Don't think. So when you feel without thought, you are not thinking. Correct, right? That's why it's to decondition your heedless thinking. Because throughout the day, you think a lot. See something, also think. Hear something, also think. Whatever that arises, you very capable one. Whole day, you think. You are either too busy thinking, planning, or worrying about life, complaining, judging. Like just now before we start, Richard come and ask me a question. I say, all these are not fit for attention, don't waste time. Oh, then, so much less thinking. friend or what, tell him what, then the mandala, then the tradition, everything. I say, you are actually paying attention. Sabha Sutta. Things that are unfit for attention, you go and pay attention. That's why you become very heedless and you got a lot to think. You are seldom silent. You are seldom heedful. So this is how you train. You have to reverse all this daily habitual tendency of thinking, reacting, commenting, kipo and all those things, so that you can become quiet, peaceful, silent. Because they are unfit for attention. Understand that? So this part is very important. You train your mind to be at the location you want it to be, then feel. Any tension, tightness, stress within, you relax. You feel, you relax, then you move it down. That's why you sweep it down. Then you combine with metta. The mind sweeping method will make you calm and peaceful because you don't think, you just feel, you become very quiet, little or no thought. Then when you have that state, you will have inner peace very fast. Then after that, you have to radiate metta to have inner well-being. You feel good. All of your body and mind. May this body and mind of mine be well and happy. Initially, you need to verbalize a bit because it will make your mind have that type of well-being and happiness within. And after a while, when you are already very skillful, you just feel and generate the metta without words. That's why it comes from your heart. It can be done in stages. But at least when you verbalize, you are aware. When you are aware, may I, that's why I say aware of your body and mind, means attention on that. Be well and happy. Means you feel, really use the feeling to feel the well-being and happiness. You are not using thought-based like those who parrot without feeling, understand not? Like you're not standing, but you are parroting, understand not? You're verbalizing. You don't have attention on your body, and you don't have this, what they call awareness, to radiate it out. There is no inner awareness to do all this. So when you do mind-saving method combined with metta, you actually train your mind very well to be at the location you want it to be, to just feel relaxed and don't think, decondition your heedless thinking. Then after that, to relax your body and mind. When body and mind is relaxed, there is harmony, there is peace. That's why the first thing that you need to do to develop the silent mind is to follow what I wrote in the note, which Danny has read. That's why I rejoice. Very good. So when you do that, you become beautiful. You don't believe, you go and try. That's why don't underestimate this mind sweeping method. I know a lot of you are, what is Brother Teo telling me? It's kindergarten stuff. Last time when I start, I do mind sweeping method. Now I want to do vipassana, no, teach me vipassana. That's what you do. There is a recent show inside the Astro about the Tai Kek, Tai Chi Shen, right? Remember? Those who went to Wu Tang San, you want to learn Tai Chi. They are too eager to learn Kung Fu. They don't want to learn the basic. So those few keep on complaining why the teacher never teach. I want to learn real Kung Fu. He said, you come and ask me to do all this for what? They don't understand. If you cannot develop the understanding, the foundation to actually train your mind to do all this, they say the basic foundation for Dhamma to arise, for you to move on with the cultivation, is actually the simple thing, like mind sweeping method. That's why every day they have to do the stand, they have to develop the carrying of water and all those things, they have to run, they have to. All this is to prepare you, like the mind sweeping method, to train you so that you decondition your heedless thinking. Because most people who have not trained their mind, 99.999%, they are heedless. They think a lot. The hindrances are very powerful in daily life. You cannot stop. So the actual way to stop it is to cultivate the five spiritual faculty. So five spiritual faculty is also important. So there are two ways. First, mind sweeping method. This one, you use it for what? Decondition the heedless thinking. Decondition the heedless thinking. This one is very useful. Okay. So that it can become more calm and more peaceful. Then you combine with metta to develop inner well-being. Well-being. This first one is to develop inner peace. Inner peace. So that the five mental hindrance, they can be, for the time being, at bay. This one is like, can prepare you to develop what they call upacara samadhi. Upacara samadhi. Means your mind can become very quiet, very peaceful, and it's in a form of samadhi. But it's not apana. It's upacara. So this one, that's why if you have heard what they call, it's even in the scripture, loving kindness meditation can lead to jhana. You heard of it, right? So this one, if you do mind sweeping method and combine, then you don't go in deep, understand? Because your metta is not deep. That's why it's at upacara samadhi. And your mind become beautiful. That's why after that, you have to stabilize this until it becomes samadhi. How you stabilize? That's why the Buddha say you do anapanasati, you anchor it to an object of meditation. That's enough. And then from there, you stabilize it. After you stabilize until you are very, very mindful, means every breath, in and out, you are aware. And then you are ready to move into daily mindfulness. Then you go into life. You develop awareness on the four posture. Every time when you are in this four posture, you maintain awareness. Then later on, the connecting posture, sati sampajana. If you do all this, your daily mindfulness will become very stable. And then you can move on to the second stage, constantly meditative. And then throughout the day, you reflect, you contemplate. You develop understanding of what is right view. Then you continue to silence your mind. Then you do the three turning of the Four Noble Truths. Then not long, you will understand the Dhamma. From your daily mindfulness, the initial wisdom will come. Then you will know how to cultivate right thought, right speech, right action. It will all come to you. Then you understand why the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do good, and purify the mind. All these will fall into place, like these all parts of pop, 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 pop. You see them in life. You see yourself, how you violate karma, the precept, how you get into trouble. Then you can see other people too, because you are heedful, you are mindful, you are fully aware, and you understand life very clearly. Then when you accord, keep the precept, never create evil roots, follow Dhammapada verse 2 instead of verse 1, then you realize happiness follow you, let your shadow never leave you. So all this will bring about understanding, and this is how you actually penetrate the Dhamma. Then after that, we have to focus on the five spiritual faculty. That's why puja is very important. Puja plus religious routine throughout the day. Religious routine means your daily routine. When you wake up, before you sleep, then in between. Then every time you have your classes or what with the puja, this is to develop the faith, spiritual faculties. The faith, sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya. So all these, they are all related. Then after that, this one go to anapanasati. Or you can use any object of meditation to stabilize. Until it becomes samadhi. Then move on to daily mindfulness. Mindfulness. Before that is the four posture. Plus daily mindfulness. So this is how you develop the training of mind. Then very fast, your mind will become silent. Then, how to be aware? Yeah, maybe we let Danny continue, huh? Very good, huh? Continue, huh? After you do mind sweeping metta, then combine metta. What is the next stage? Yeah. Means relax, silent. Don't do anything. You know why or not? Why must you remain silent? The moment you are silent means what? Huh? Ah, then you are in sati. No place to write. The moment, sorry. The moment you are silent. The moment you are silent without thought. You are already in sati. Understand not? So now you can understand. To be in sati, to be mindful, is very simple. The moment you are silent, you are already there. Then why you want to do all those funny things? Not this, not that, verbalize. Because you think that is sati. When you are silent without thought, you are aware, understand? What is awareness? Awareness is before the knowing, understand? When you aware before the word come out, before the labeling, when you can see things as they are, without word, without concept, and that is sati, that is awareness, that is the silent mind. That's why don't try to be aware. Try to be aware means what? The thought try to be aware, understand? The thought is trying to know. The thought is trying to do. And what is meditation? To be silent, to be aware, to be with the moment without thought. That's why you do the opposite. You create more thought. That's a thought-based meditation. The mind can never be silent. So all this you have to understand. Then when it comes to feeling, you know, it's just silent. The moment you're silent, you can feel. But if you are labeling, this floor, cold or hot, means what? You are using your thought to feel. And how can you feel when your thought is actively chattering? Describing things, creating thought. That's why you got confusion. That's why the question asked by that person, he said, what is the difference between feeling and thought? To him, he cannot differentiate. Because to feel, he has to use his thought to feel. That's why he said, it's a thought. Early on in the blue book, the Eddie also said, he said, isn't it a thought? Where he only know thought. That is the only instrument. And throughout the day, human being, 99.99% you use thought. You are never with the moment in silence without thought. Because most of the time you are heedless, you think a lot. So feeling and thought are totally different. The moment you understand, the question becomes irrelevant. For me to feel, really feel, feeling as pure feeling, I need to silence without word, without labeling. Then only I can feel. Understand? Careful. Like at night, or let's say suddenly you want to listen to something very clearly, what must you do? You just silent and allow your senses to be clear, isn't it? You don't talk. That's how you become aware, and that your senses, any of them, will pick it up. Then that silent can hear. Can follow? So when you do this, it's the same. When you feel, you really want to feel, that's why feeling can become pure feeling, is when you don't think. The moment you think, what happens? Memory come in, perception come in. Then what does the memory and the perception tell you? Because you are so conditioned. Pain, Understand? Hot or cold. This is no more feeling, understand? This one is emotion already, understand? That's why under dependent orientation, the 12th link, starting from ignorant, avijja paccaya sankara, sankara paccaya vinyanang, vinyanang paccaya namarupang. Then namarupang paccaya selayatana, the sense basis. Then selayatana, dependent on sense basis, arise contact. Understand? So when you feel, you put your hand down, there is tactile consciousness, contact. Upon contact, feeling will arise, but you don't know how to silence. You don't know how to feel. And what you do? You verbalize. You say pain, hot, cold. It becomes duality. Sensual desire, it becomes hindrance of mind. It hinders you from entering the meditative state of inner peace and inner calmness. That's why you lost your heedfulness. You lost your mindfulness. Then that's how feeling is conditioned into craving. Your craving is your like and dislike. Positive and negative craving. Understand? Sensual desire. That's why Vedana Upasana, when you do, when you silent, you're supposed to be aware of feeling, pure feeling. But when feeling has become pleasant and unpleasant, the Buddha says you must be aware. Means what? The hindrance has arisen, the evil root has arisen. Means you already not with the feeling. You are not aware anymore. That's why the Satipatthana say you must trace its origination factor and all those things. So that you can clearly understand the teaching. Otherwise you will be wasting your time. Keep on doing. Note pain, pain, pain. Then do all those funny meditation. Your mind is seldom silent. That's why you cannot penetrate the higher mindfulness. You cannot silence your mind until your mind is in sati, where it can feel your own heartbeat without stethoscope. Then it is very sensitive. Anywhere you locate this mind is aware. Every moment of seeing, aware by itself. No need to do anything. Every moment of hearing, aware. Because you have trained. It has become so stable. So understanding this will break through your thought-based meditation. You learn to silence your mind more and more. More and more. Then learn to be aware of your daily life activity and movement more and more. More and more. Yeah. After this, remind me to talk about daily mindfulness. I have spoken a little bit on Thursday class before I start during puja session. Yeah. Then later on, if you got time, I will speak more on that. So now this one can follow, can understand. So now it's very easy, right? The first question, how to silence the mind and be aware? To be aware, just the moment you are silent without thought, you're already aware. Why you want to do anything? Because you don't know how to silence. That's why you have problem. And then to silence, you can use this. Start with mind sweeping method to decondition your heedless thing. Otherwise, you think a lot. How can you be silent as well? That's why you force yourself to be peaceful. You cannot do it what you do. Most people will go and concentrate and focus on themselves. Correct, one-pointedness. Because you focus all the energy there so that it will not run. Then you develop calmness, tranquility, stillness. This is all energy field. And your mind, you can get headache, I tell you. The energy all build up. Yeah. Then later on, when you become older, you are not careful. The brain vessel will burst. When you hold on to that jhana, that concentration, but the energy is very strong, where it push it up. And many people has become casualty when they reach the age of 60-something, 70. Yeah. There are many incidents of Raja Yoga and all those yoga, or the Kundalini cultivator, or the third eye and all those things. They focus. Because when you get older and older, you know, all this, what they call blood vessel, they are not so elastic like when you are young. It cannot hold on to this type of energy. But the only thing that helps you is as you grow old, your energy also not so strong. That one helps you there. Otherwise, when you are young, your body is already there, that type of energy, the blood vessel can burst. But some, they very strong, they train until it becomes like, very powerful. So all these three are very important way to train your mind to be aware, to have sati. First, it deconditions your heedless thinking. Then it tackles the real issue to overcome the five hindrances, mental hindrances, leading to upacara samadhi. You need to cultivate the opposite five, spiritual faculties. Yeah. Then after that, stabilize the mindfulness in anapanasati. Then this trained mind, when you can develop until anapanasati is a part of you, until throughout the day you are able to be mindful of this breathing in and out, means your sati has stabilized. Then you have to carry this mind state into daily life. Then you anchor it to the four postures. That is the second category of practice under Kaya Nupassana. After anapanasati is four posture, mindfulness of four posture. This four posture is very important. When you walk, you just walk. Don't try to walk slowly and mindful. You try to be mindful using your thought, you are not mindful at all. You walk in a relaxed manner, silent, just maintain attention. Just like just now before we start, while waiting, how many of you are aware of what you are doing? Aware from within of your posture, how you talk to people and how people move and all those things, all of the activity. Even the blinking of your eye, the movement of your kaya. If there is awareness, there is attention, it's a very natural movement. And you don't have to like, but slowly. No, you just move. Understand? Like all of the movement, my hand, you see. There is awareness, sati, even as I speak to you. Understand? That even as I speak from within, there is inner awareness. That's why you can see a general awareness that can see all your movement. So many of you are moving. Oh, Sian moved his leg and all that. Then a lot of you are moving. Then your eyes are blinking. Then how can I see? Then some of them like that. Then some sleepy. So all this, you can be aware because you're silent. The moment you're silent, there's a general spacious awareness that allows you to be aware. Understand? Then when you maintain attention, it's the mind and the body as one. Then when it walks, mind and body as one. Initially, don't try to know. You just do. Like bowing or whatever. When you get it, you will know. You become very graceful. Your mind and body become one. And the easiest way to learn this is, if you are a housewife, you cook a lot, you will know. You cook until you very experienced, what happened? Cooking become very skillful, automatic. The wok you hold also. They say, your children, wow, ma, you're very good. How come you can move so fast and the oil never spill on you and all things? And how come you know how much salt to put? Because you are skillful and you've done it until it become a part of you. Badminton is the same, tip tennis is the same. When you train and you're so skillful, then you will know you are really in sati. Because when you serve the shuttlecock, you no need to note. Serving. Where got like that one? You take the shuttlecock, bam, it goes already. Very fast. Because you are trained. And it's the instantaneous movement, spontaneous, bam. That is the real one. The slow one, the shuttlecock cannot move, sometimes it bounces back. Then sometimes you miss the shuttlecock. Yeah, you are not trained. So you just do, like badminton, practice. Do. Bowing, do. Walk. Don't try to know. Don't try to say, am I doing right? Must be like that. Then you go and do all those, I tell you. Forever, you never. But you walk. With faith, sadha, virya. Then you just walk until mindfulness comes. And you will know. When you are mindful, you will know. Then throughout the day, even as you stand, the slightest movement, you're fully aware. And it's like slow motion, everything moves. Yeah. Then all of your turning, moving, even blinking of your eye, whatever, stretching, bending, all, you're fully aware. Then at home, as you move around, you're fully aware. How you go to your car, how your hand, then how you put your thing in your pocket and take that alarm out. And how you on, and how you sit, move into the car, and how you close the door, you're fully aware. Then how your hand on the handle, then how you move the gear. You're fully aware. Even go to the washroom, you also don't like hurry and panic. You are fully aware. And you can be aware. And that's what mindfulness is all about. That's why this four posture, accumulating in the daily mindfulness, this is the real cultivation. This is the real mindfulness. When you do this until you are very stable, throughout the day, your body and mind is one, you are most of the time aware, then only you use it to cultivate noble eightfold path, to reflect, to contemplate. By then, your mind is very quiet, very still. It's most of the time aware. Whatever you reflect, you contemplate, it becomes very clear to you. So first question, answer. Now? Finish. Second one is, what is the nature of mind? You know, every day you do. What do you do? You think a lot, isn't it? Thinking. Then, what else? The nature of mind are the aggregates of mind, understand? You think a lot. You arise a lot of mental states, understand? Emotion, fear, worry, anxiety, all inside there. Then you perceive a lot. Then you become conscious. That is your nature of mind. And that is the thinking mind. Understand? This is the first aspect of mind, thinking mind, or mundane mind. So this thinking mind or mundane mind is the condition arising mind. So you must understand that you have this mind, and this is the one that makes you heedless. Heedless. Because you think a lot. You use this a lot throughout the day. Can follow? Then what is the other mind? Which you hardly know. Which you hardly use. What is that? The true mind. What is the true mind? The moment you are silent and without thought, that is the true mind. That's why this is the first one. And the second one is your true mind. Your true mind is just aware. Just aware, without thought, before the knowing. So this one is the silent mind. The mind that doesn't verbalize, doesn't chatter, doesn't talk, doesn't create words to label. Just aware. And this one can have two types of awareness. One is the spacious, general awareness without a center. Just aware, no center. The second one is spacious, but specific phenomenal awareness. From spacious, it moves to specific movement, phenomena, activity. And that one, you use it to cultivate the four posture, daily mindfulness. That's why you can be at the moment of seeing, when you see the moving car passing by. The awareness, the sati and the calm move is one. There is no perception. It's just aware. It just flow. Then when you look at the tree, it just flow with the tree. Then as you, now I can see the person. With the hand, I say, how come I can see your eyes silent? The lady also use the handkerchief. Then she look up. Because this on the moment is silent, it can have specific phenomenal awareness. Because whatever the move, the awareness will be with it. Understand? That's why it can be with the person who is doing the chakritiao and all this thing. Then again, the lady moved the hand. So all this is phenomenal movement within the silence. That's why you can see. You can say, well, till you're talking, well, how come you know? I don't know, because within the silence, it is like that. Like my wife, the two hands move. Because that one move. So all this is what the mind that has this specific awareness is capable of. From general spacious awareness, it can zoom in into specific phenomenal awareness. So this is what sati is all about. So the nature of mind, there are two types, and you must train your mind to develop the silent mind. That's why the first question is very relevant. When you train your mind to be silent, you can connect to this mind. And this mind can develop a lot of wisdom. It can see things as they are. It can awaken. It can develop understanding. And this is the one you have to train and develop in meditation, but you all hardly do. And this is the one you must have in the midst of life. That's why heedfulness is required in the midst of life, not only in a retreat when you slow everything down. So to be heedful in the midst of life is the real one. And when you are heedful, you are most of the time aware without thought. That's why this one becomes predominant. So the sign of progress in meditation is when this one reduces the thinking, this one increase the silence. The silence more and more, thinking less and less. Then there is real meditation in progress. But not through energy field, not in concentration. When you force yourself not to think, one pointedness, you kill all the thought. Then you hold on in concentration, either one pointedness or absorption. That one is different. That one you kill the thought, you don't allow the thought to move. Means you fix the mind, you go into apana samadhi to make it absorbed, concentrated. Then it cannot think. Then inside that state, it's like no thought, but it's thought based. And so, who say no thought? The thought say no thought. So no thought is still a thought. So, otherwise, how do you know there is no thought? Because I say, you say, I don't think. How do you know you don't think? The thought tell you. So, that's why the real one is without thought. Without thought is just aware, no word. So nobody telling you anything. So, and you can develop the understanding. Where the form and mind will know when you are silent. But this form and mind is the one that chatter. That's why the Buddha said, this one is not you. This one is impermanent. You attach, cling, and grasp, give meaning. It brings about suffering. And it's condition arising. That's why it's never a permanent and changing entity. It's not you. That's why you do not develop the delusion to grasp and cling and hold. And because it's not a permanent and changing entity, it cannot be you. That's why it's anatta, non-self. And because this condition arising is impermanent, that's why it is empty, no reality. Whatever that is condition arising will continue to transform, change. Then one day when condition cease to be, it will cease to be. That's why finally it's empty, come and go, arising, disappearing. The phenomenal world is a world of consciousness, nothing else. And what is consciousness? How real can it be? Moment to moment it passes by. Then without consciousness, he know you, he know me. That's why everything ceases to be. When the mind ceases, everything ceases. So this is a very important understanding. What is the nature of mind? So it so happened the question become so relevant. Relevant the question now. Not to say the question was relevant. Whatever question he put, I will make it relevant. Like just now, Brother Tay say, you can ask any question, the Dhamma will come out. You need condition for it to flow out. Understand? You can go and give the same question to other Dhamma teacher. You see what they tell you. Completely different thing. The third one is that. How to differentiate between right view and wrong view? How? What is right view? Now that's your noble eightfold path. First path factor is right view. What are your understanding of the Buddha's teaching? Right view, samadhi. When you understand samadhi, then you will know what is the opposite. That is non-right view, wrong view. What are the right views that the Buddha talk about? The first one is law of karma. You must understand that this is a great law, spiritual law, law of karma. That's why it's called karma niyama. So when you understand this great law, you will understand why the Buddha advised you to avoid all evil, do good, and purify the mind. Then why he asked you to reflect and contemplate daily, the five daily contemplation, the last one, regarding karma. All living beings, regardless of who you are born of your karma, heir to your karma condition, and supported by your karma. You are what you are because of your karma. So all this comes from right view, understand? Reflect on it, contemplate on it, see the importance of karma. Like Thursday talk, karma is 99.999%, and you are interested in feng shui. Oh, very gullible. So you pay so much, then end of the day, karma decide. Not feng shui. Oh, you become gullible. Then you burn a hole in your pocket. It doesn't mean feng shui don't have its side hair, but its influence is so little in life, understand? No? It's not worth going after. Only those who don't understand the importance of taking care of karma are more interested in feng shui because they think with money they can change their life. Cannot. Your life cannot change. You can only change your life if you use money to develop wholesomeness, goodness, understand not? To take care of karma. Not all the feng shui, no use. Your mind state, you must have virtue, you must have understanding. Then what is the next right view? Yeah? After karma niyama is what? Citta niyama, mind. Order of mind, how you function as a human being, how your mind operates. That's why, like Paramahansa say, dependent origination, paticchasamutta, 12. But don't believe the Buddha. Go and investigate. That's why when you meditate with daily mindfulness, you're supposed to investigate. Every moment of sense experience, what happened? If there is delusion, ignorance, what happened? Avijja paccaya sankhara, and what is sankhara? Thinking, mental activity. Are you going to check, true or not? Every moment of seeing, what do? You comment, you think, you react. Hearing also same. Dreaming also same. Oh, smell, taste, tactile also same. So, if you understand that because you don't have wisdom, there is delusion, wanting to know, wanting to experience, that's why you think. The moment you think, you make contact with mind, then mind is an organ. So upon contact, consciousness comes to be. That's why avijja paccaya sankhara, sankhara paccaya vijñānaṃ. The vijñānaṃ is the mental consciousness that arises when you make contact with the mind. And how you make contact? You think. And that is an organ. This is the real dependent origination. Then after you think, when you become conscious, you go and associate with what you see. What you hear, what you smell, that's why you input the content, your conditioning, the content went in. So when consciousness, vijñānaṃ, receive the content, it becomes the fine aggregate of form and mind, namarūpaṃ. That's why vijñānaṃ paccaya namarūpaṃ. Then namarūpaṃ paccaya salayatana. So depend on this fine aggregate of form and mind because they are consciousness and its content, innate contact. That's why there is sense basis. Dependent on this, you must have sense basis, otherwise namarūpaṃ cannot arise. And because there is sense basis, there is contact. And dependent on contact, there is this feeling that arises. And when there is no wisdom, without yoniso manasikara, when you have a yoniso manasikara, when you are deluded, you don't have the wisdom, then what happens? Feeling is condition into craving. You cannot stop, you cannot cut, because without wisdom, straight away you become craving. That's why you react. Thought-based meditation, your condition is straight away you labor pain, unpleasant feeling or pleasant feeling. Then it becomes sensual desire and ill will, the hindrance of mind. It becomes emotion, it no more feeling. And that is what craving is all about. Negative craving is sensual desire. Positive craving is sensual desire. Negative craving is you don't want that feeling, that painful feeling, unpleasant. That is ill will, dislike. So all these are related. Then what is the third right view? Third right view is what? Nama niyama means order of Dhamma. What are the essential Dhamma that the Buddha teach? That's why Four Noble Truths is the third right view. If you know what suffering is, the eight reality, and you know the cause behind suffering, then you should be able to manage your life better, isn't it? Compared to somebody who don't have the Dhamma, who don't even know how they suffer, who don't even know that the First Noble Truth reality, the eight reality of life and existence, can condition them to become miserable. And the cause of it is delusion, that condition, craving, grasping, clinging, holding. So all this, if they don't understand, they suffer without understanding. But at least now you know the cause. You know that this is suffering. So you can manage your life better. Right? You can develop this understanding and retrospectively reverse it, so that you do not deludedly grasp and cling and hold, so that craving for all these things will not arise. Craving for the form, your loved one, your possession, all will not arise. You will not cling after the aggregate of mind, of feeling, perception, emotion, or of your views and opinion and your consciousness. Everything that you become conscious of, you don't gullibly believe them, hold on to them, cling on to them. Once you have this understanding, you will not have that much suffering. That you see the characteristics of impermanent, leading to suffering, empty nature and non-self nature, your mind will liberate. It is no longer deluded. That's why it will not hold anymore. You know all this will lead to suffering. Then you will follow the Buddha's teaching every day, reflect the five daily contact until so clear that there is no more doubt. Whatever the Buddha shares with you, you reflect until you understand it just the way it is being taught. And that is the most important. So these are the three right views. The rest of the thing that people tell you, they are all irrelevant. Because these are the three great spiritual laws that governs life and existence. And all our lives can be summarized into just this Four Noble Truths. And the Four Noble Truths covers the Noble Eightfold Path, which covers the first two right views also. That's why the whole of the three right views, Kamma Niyama, Citta Niyama, and Dhamma Niyama, they are the spiritual laws that governs life and existence. You understand this, you understand life, you know how to live. So it's very easy to distinguish between, differentiate between right view and wrong view. Whatever that is not accordance to the three spiritual laws, they are wrong view. But scientific law follow another two, Uttu Niyama and Bija Niyama. That one is physical law and biological law. That one follow those two. What I'm talking about is psychological law, spiritual law. Then the next question is how to see beyond form. This one I have already given in the notes. Heart Sutta note, go and read. I have also discussed in many occasions when I came here, especially the talk on emptiness. How do you see form, the unreality of form? Then how do you see beyond form? Then only you can see mind. Then how do you see the unreality of mind, beyond mind? Then you penetrate, go beyond mind. Then what do you see? You see your nature. These are all in the notes. You go back and read. Then you wait for the other book, Emptiness. Once it come out, the transcript is finished. I'm doing the editing, the last part. After that, I think we may send it out for printing. So this one is very important to see form and go beyond form. You cannot see form and understand the unreality of form. You cannot see beyond form. Then form Dhamma trap you. You argue a lot over form, like the flag and the wind. Then you never able to penetrate mind. Well, mind is more subtle, less tangible. Whereas external form are very solid, very tangible, perceivable. But mind are very subtle, less perceivable. So you cannot even see form and understand the unreality of form and see beyond form. there is no way you can understand. There's no way you can go to mind. Okay? Then what is the next one? What is the meaning of suchness? Isness of thing. Suchness is what the Buddha always talked about. That's why Ananda used the word thus, as I heard. The thusness of thing. Suchness and thusness is the same. Or the isness of thing. Thusness. Things are just the way it is. It's like it is thus. Means the reality is the reality. That is the reality, the truth of all things. That's why they call it suchness or the isness of things. And the Buddha is the Tathagata. He is an expert in Tathata. What is Tathata? Tathata is suchness. That's why he is an expert in suchness. That's why he sees things as they are. He sees truth, he sees the reality. Condition like that, things will be like that. It cannot be otherwise. That's why everything is thus. Everything is such. Suchness. Then the isness of things. That's why Krishnamurti like to use this word, truth is. Truth is, you understand or not? You know what is the meaning or not? What is the meaning of truth is? So all the marker pen has come here, except the green one. What is the meaning of truth is? What is truth? People always talk about what? All religion mention what? My religion is the only truth. You agree or not? All other religion is not the truth. But those who are wise, they say there is no such thing. That is your version of truth. Your religious label style of truth. What is truth? Truth is, means what? You can never own and possess truth, understand? Truth is, means it belongs to nature, understand? You can follow that? Not your truth, not my truth. What is your truth? Conditioned truth. Based on your understanding, you think that is the truth. Your truth, my truth, are your individual truth. Conditioned truth. They are not universal truth, understand? Universal truth is what? Whatever that can explain the way things are, that is the truth. Understand? And you cannot monopolize that. It's within nature. Understand? Like all the scientific law, all the spiritual law that the Buddha come to realize, the five panchaniyamas, they are truth. That's why he called them Dhamma. Understand? That's why Dhamma is his teaching. He only teach truth, nothing else but the truth. And the essence of his teaching is the four noble truths. These are very, very unique truths. Where these four noble truths, when you penetrate and realize them, or you awaken to them, you can become noble ones or enlightened ones. Okay? So with that, I end my talk. Yeah. So if you got question, you can still have 10 minutes of Q&A.
Hello? Morning, Brother Teo. Brother Teo, I like, from this point, I like to ask a question about memory.
Can, no problem.
I'm aware, yes. And I think I understand now.
Very good. Sadhu.
Why I have this problem with memory, remembering.
Yeah.
You know, when I hear the Dhamma, I do understand, but somehow
Don't commit to memory.
Yes, don't commit to memory.
Don't ever commit to memory. You commit to memory, you cannot penetrate the Dhamma. Whatever that arises, let it be. You don't try to remember. Trying to remember is the thought trying to remember. That is clinging, grasping, wants to know, wants to remember. Then when you use memory, you are using knowledge. You are not using your understanding. Understanding got no memory, no storage. It is within your nature. When you understand, you understand. You don't need memory. The one that need memory, you activate through the thought, try to recall. And that one is not wisdom. Your wisdom is spontaneous. When you have to reflect and go back to the memory, then it is not spontaneous. It's acting according to memory. Means you check with your memory. Last time, how I act? What did the book say? What did the Buddha say? What did Brother Teo say? And then you try to follow. That is not acting at all. Acting according to memory is not acting at all. But your memory got all this conditioning, all the fear, the anxiety, your sorrow, your lamentation, your experience, the accumulation of your past experiences, good and bad, your scars of memory, and all the, your insecurity, your phobia. So when you reflect, all this influence you. That's why you act according to fear, act according to past phobia, or act according to your conditioning and delusion. That's why you will have your preference, your religious label, belief. You try to protect them. You say, I'm a Buddhist. That's why I must protect Buddhism. I must do something for Buddhism. All this is from the thought, from the memory. When there is wisdom, there is understanding. He understands there is no reality. He know you, he know me, he, there is no division. Everything is from the thought. But there is such thing as life. There is such thing as a conditioned world. There are laws that govern life and existence within the conditioned world. That's why the conditioned world has law of karma. These five aggregates of form and mind, the living being, are subject to this law. But under ultimate truth, he know you, he know me. So all these are the two aspects of life. One is mundane, the unconditioned. The conditioned world. The other one is the supramundane, the unconditioned world. So remember, don't try to remember. Forget about it. You can write notes, no problem. So that you can have the condition to reflect and recall and read. That one is useful if you want to. But when you come to understanding, the moment you awaken, it is there all the time with you. You no need to remember. You need to remember only you can come out with the Dhamma, that is knowledge. That's why I come, I never prepare. I cannot prepare. You ask me to prepare, I cannot give talk. I got no notes. But I got transcript only. You transcribe my talk on it. And I can edit it because as I talk, the condition that arises, the Dhamma is different. Then I need to make it into written English word that people can read. Because all this, when sometimes you read the earlier edition, they are all spoken language, And it's very difficult to put into words. So I realize if I do a direct transcript, people who are not familiar with my style of sharing and what, they will just ignore the book. What type of English is this? Is English also not proper? I never say, do you understand? I just say, understand or not. All this traditional Malaysian, Manlish, Malaysian language, English. So all this has been put inside, but we understand each other, so enough. Yeah, you can continue. Yes.
So, when there are moments of clarity,
yeah,
and when there's silence.
Yes, that one very important.
Automatically, it will arise when the condition warrants it.
Correct. And the understanding will just arise. And that form and mind will just understand. The true mind will awaken first. Like, all of a sudden, suddenly, like, you have understood. Then, that understanding is very funny or no? You have understood. You know you have understood something, but you cannot describe it. But initially, you don't have the stability of understanding to describe it, but it's already inside you, never lost. Then any time after that in your life, you encounter anything, you will know how to handle and deal. No need to look for answer, no need to recollect to anything. Spontaneously, you will know. You know how to act on. Then that virtue, the wholesomeness, it will manifest by itself. It's not a conditioned thought. Not a condition. It's, oh, I'm spiritual already. I must be merciful. I must have kindness. I must have gentleness. I must act like that. Eh? Your noble evil power prepare speech on. Like telephone answering. May I help you? How are you? Then somebody is not so friendly and suddenly scold at you. Then you erupt out. Then all the, what they call prepared language, forgotten. That is what knowledge is all about. But when you have the Dhamma, no matter what he do, you will know how to calm yourself down and you will have the compassion, you pity him. You say, it's okay. If I have caused you any hurt or harm, I am willing to apologize. I'm really sorry. Then if you really have a problem, if you want to resolve your problem, I would suggest you can call another number. Or you are free, maybe you drop by. Then we can talk. So you will know how to present it in a very nice way. You don't argue with people. You don't tell people off. Because living beings are just the way they are. So all this understanding, it will come by itself. That's why the true Dhamma is very different. Not what you think. The true wisdom that arises, it awakens from inside. It transforms you completely. You become a totally different person. And many of them who already transformed, they know, then they talk to me. Like yesterday, two of them talked to me. And one of them is the best after he take me home. Finally, when he reached my house, because he was describing his experience and all those things and how he moved so fast recently. Then after that, he came to this realization. He said, "Brother, actually now, no need to go for retreat, really." Yeah, I said, retreat is for what? To train. Technically, no need really. But if there is condition, you still go. Then the last time I remember Yun Chan, 10 years ago, came to see me, remember? He invited me to come out to share. Three times I rejected, then later on reflection, I agree on three conditions. Then after that, he keep on telling me, "Radio, you are so good. Why don't you sign up for retreat? You should go to this retreat, that retreat." I said, "Never mind, it's okay, you all go." He cannot understand. Until almost 7-8 years later, only he understand. Retreat are only important to people who need to train. And there are time to go for retreat. But more important is the actual understanding of what is meditation and the cultivation. When you already understand and you can do it throughout the day, you somehow go to retreat for what? In the midst of life, you already so heedful and so skillful, you go there to show off, to show people. So when you need to train, like go to a gym, and then you go to a gym. But you already train until you're so skillful and you already like so stable that you don't need any training already. You somehow go to gym for one. Well, throughout the day, your daily mindfulness is so stable and the understanding is there. That's why the Buddha used this word, asekha. Heard of this or not? What is asekha? Sekhas are those who are still under training. Monks that are still under training. Asekha means beyond training. So there are words that the Buddha used to describe people who are beyond training, where they already have the Dhamma. It's just for the benefit of the many, no more for themselves. That's why they are selfless. And they know this one is just a vehicle and a tool to come and to be a blessing to all, to fulfill the vows and all those things, and to create condition for those who have affinity with the nature to move. So all this you will understand later on as you cultivate. Okay? Sadhu, 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 sadhu. I was told you had to close your center at 10:15. Already 10:15. Any more question? Otherwise we better stop. Ah, yeah. Brother Kam, yes. You all have the key, to the center. You have the key, otherwise they lock you out. Oh, you see. Okay. For me, it's okay. Yeah, Brother Kam.
Yeah, Brother Teo.
Yeah.
You see, sometimes we are asked to contemplate.
Oh, yes.
Contemplate. So when we are asked to contemplate on this Dharma teaching, are we using the thought faculty?
There's a little bit of thinking, but very slow, very fine. Not the active, heedless thinking. Creative thinking. You know what is creative thinking or not? That's like contemplation. You need to have a Dhamma to drive you, an inquiry, like the second turning. What did the Buddha say on the second turning? Every noble truth, he give you different emphasis. You familiar with the three turning of the Four Noble Truth? The three turnings of the Four Noble Truth?
Brother Teo can enlighten me on that.
Oh, you have to read out the book very long, or that one. Another session also cannot finish. We are the Four Noble Truths under Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta. You go back and read the first sermon when he became enlightened. He teach to the five ascetics. He talked about this Four Noble Truths. The Buddha proclaimed them. Then he said, even as a Buddha himself, when he was under training as a Bodhisattva, he need to understand this Four Noble Truths in its three turning, to develop the three types of corresponding wisdom, Suttamaya Panya, Cittamaya Panya, and Bhavanamaya Panya, before he can call himself the fully enlightened one. So you see the importance of the three turning. That is what the cultivation is all about. The third right view, Four Noble Truths and its three turning. And this is how you develop the three types of correspondent wisdom. First turning is proclamation of truth by the Buddha. First noble truth, second, third, and fourth. He proclaimed. You read the sutta, it's all there. Then after he proclaimed, you have the parami from the past, like Kondanya. You can awaken. He became a sotapan straight away before the first sermon was finally delivered and completed. Somewhere in between, Samasambuddha, Sakyamuni already knew, and he said, Kondanya has already awakened. The Dhamma eye has already awakened. He's already a sotapan. If you don't have your past parami, you upon listening, you cannot awaken. Then you go for second turning. The second turning, the Buddha said, after you have heard what he has proclaimed, then you have to reflect on what he say, contemplate, inquire, to develop the clearer understanding. So when you reflect and you contemplate, then you actually create better understanding. Means you stabilize all of the teaching that he has like proclaimed, like you write it down. Then you try to understand, you reflect on it, you contemplate, then you inquire, why did the Buddha say that? And then through your inquiry and contemplation, you develop better understanding. So you start to stabilize all this understanding. Then you assimilate it in to your nature through contemplation and reflection. So wisdom born of constant contemplation, reflection, and inquiry into the Dhamma that the Buddha has proclaimed, which is the Four Noble Truths, is the second turning wisdom, Cittamaya Panya. So Cittamaya Panya is very useful And this second turning, the Buddha actually gave you four very important guidelines. First noble truth, second turning, is it? This noble truth of suffering is to be understood. Means you must understand what is suffering, not only superficially, real life understanding. Means the first noble truth, reality, the eight condition, how you develop the wisdom and the understanding. You have to reflect, contemplate. Then the five daily contemplation is related to the first noble truth. You will see a lot of similarity there. Everything is related. Then after that, when you reflect and contemplate, you don't think, no active thinking, but you silent in a quiet environment, quiet setting, like retreat or at home when you are alone. You just reflect. Then why did the Buddha say that? Why did the Buddha say this noble truth of dukkha, which is suffering, is to be understood? Then after that, how can I understand? Then when we come to the first noble truth, final summary, how can I understand the final summary? In short, the Buddha said, it is due to your delusion that condition you to grasp and cling at the five aggregate of form and mind that I call dukkha or suffering. Or the five aggregate of grasping, upadana khandas, is dukkha. Why? Then how can I understand? If you want to understand, I must understand what is this five aggregate. That's why all this will bring about understanding. Then when you understand the five aggregate, you have to put to test. Does it bring about suffering if I attach, cling through delusion? This is how you develop. Then when you reflect on birth, birth is suffering. Why did the Buddha say that? Then you reflect through your creative inquiry and thinking. Then you reflect on birth. Whatever that you experience through life related to birth, you will come to understand the whole process. Then this creative mind will bring forth the memory, the recollection. Then all of a sudden, because you are creative, you are silent, you have the Dhamma, you have the right view, then you will start to understand deeper the meaning of the noble truth. And this is how you reflect and contemplate until very, very clear. The more you do, the clearer it becomes. Then the more silent you are, the more daily mindfulness you have, the more aware you are, you have more clarity. Then you can understand. Your contemplation will give rise to a lot of wisdom. The Dhamma keep on popping up in front of you. Everything that you reflect on, the Dhamma just surface. Because you have the spiritual faculty, you have heedfulness, you are aware. That's how it comes. Then the third turning is wisdom born of meditation, bhavana, where you really need to cultivate. Because every of this turning is about enlightenment. First noble truth, the Buddha turned it this way, is that this noble truth of suffering has already been understood. Second turning is just is to be understood. And then third turning, already understood. Means you already enlightened. You already cultivate bhavana maya panya. Okay? Yeah. We better stop.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you very much.
You go and get hold of that book. I think they have my first book. It's a A3 size paper, understanding the teaching as taught by the Buddha, where there's the word of wisdom, everything inside there. Inside there got three turning. Where is Brother Khan? I think he got the note the first time I come on the A3 size on. Otherwise you go straight on there. Still got there? Understanding the A3 size on. A4. Soft copy also he has. We can send it out. He is new, that's why he don't have. So there is a lot of things that he need to pick it up. So when you understand everything like very clear, like the zigzag puzzle become very clear, then you can see the whole picture. Then it's very easy to cultivate. Otherwise, you one piece here, one piece there, then you don't know how to link some more. Then this piece also not clear. It's like nobody really can explain even that essential dhamma. So how are you going to link? How are you going to develop understanding? if the individual essential Dhamma also you not clear, then how can you be clear about the whole teaching? That's why unless you really have that ability, like the Buddha mentioned under Sarika Sutta, yeah? If you are stuck in a Kwamaya, you know what is a Kwamaya? Soft ground that trap people on. Yeah? How can you save people who are trapped inside there? Well, you yourself are trapped, understand? Only after you have come out, then only you know how to save. So the Dhamma is like that. If you have not awakened and understood, there is no way you can teach, I tell you. No way. No way at all. What you teach is based on your limited understanding. Okay? Yeah.
Yeah. Sadhu. Just before we transfer merits and share merits with Deva, we'd like to extend a token of appreciation to Brother Teo.
Okay, you have to give to Brother Chua.
Sadhu.
Brother Chua, you can together with Chai Chai make offering. Sadhu. I rejoice. Because they provide transport. And Brother Chua, Mimi, the family. Now the son, the elder son, follow them. They are very wholesome. They have a lot of faith, sincerity. Actually, this clan talk, luckily, because of them, they provide transport most of the time. So Brother Gandul had to go down 1 hour, come up 1 hour, then send me back another 1 hour, then come back to clan another 1 hour. So save him a lot of unnecessary traveling time. So you all should thank them.
Sadhu.
That's why all these are very wholesome. Not to say I cannot drive or I don't want to drive, but no point, you understand? Because I have not been driving for the last 4 or 5 years. Last time I used to drive home out of town, so I got no problem. But now I try not to drive. Then Klang is the place I'm not familiar on. I seldom come to Klang. You put me in Klang, I get lost. Really. If PJ and all those areas, no problem. Okay, we were.
Okay, so throughout that 1 hour plus, we have benefited much from learning from Brother Theo's explanation. So we shall not forget about our departed relatives and guardian deities. So we'll share merits, Brother Theo.
Okay. So now you recall to mind all of your wholesomeness, all of your merits that you have developed through the 2 hours of Dhamma sharing. You have done your puja, you have listened to Dhamma, you have straightened your view, you have rejoiced. Then you have developed a lot of wholesomeness. Then you can invoke the power of this wholesomeness, then share the merits to all beings. We start with the devas. Aka sata ca bubata deva naga mahindika punyang tang anamoditwa cirang rakantu loka sasana itta wata camehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anamodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo imina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo Satang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu. Okay, pay respect to Lord Buddha, Queen Bodhisattva and all the worthy ones. Then those who want this book, you can collect Understanding the Meditation as taught by the Buddha, part 1. there are 8 copies here, so I leave it behind for your center. This is a reprint, but no addition, editing and all those things. It's still the same except the cover is different color. Last time, the old one, the font is smaller. This one, the font is bigger. This one is light blue. The old one is dark blue. Okay.